CBS, Eye on the World, Behind the Black. Happy birthday, Behind the Black. 14 years of looking very, very, very far into the future, but the future is here, commercial space. We begin with a SpaceX launch that experienced anomalies. Bob, a very good evening to you. An anomaly on a SpaceX launch is unusual. It's actually newsmaking. What happened?
Newsmaking, John, it's so unusual. It's astonishing. Just to give some perspective, this was a launch last night, but to give some perspective, the last SpaceX launch failure of any kind occurred in June of 2015. That's almost a decade ago. Almost a decade. A decade of launches, which they did 344 successful launches in a row. With nothing going wrong, every launch succeeding, every launch delivering its payload, every launch returning the first stage. This is just an astonishing record. It's unmatched by any other rocket ever in the history of space exploration. But last night, they did have something go wrong for the first time. And it was the first stage. First stage took off. It landed as planned. It's completed its 19th flight. But the upper stage, during the initial burn after stage separation, the video, the live stream showed what looked like a leak coming out of the side of the nozzle or from above the nozzle. Couldn't quite see the source of this. Ice began to form on the outside of the manifold above the nozzle. Supposedly the nozzle completed the burn. The engine completed the burn, and they got into their preliminary orbit, and that's when they ended the live stream. That's traditionally always on the live stream at that point because they're in their nominal orbit. But then they had to restart that engine to get it into the correct orbit for the stalling satellites it was deploying. It was deploying 20 stalling satellites. But when they turned on the engine for the second burn, basically they had a blow. Everything blew up, exploded, which suggests that the leak was a lot of fuel was accumulating around the stage. I'm guessing here. And when the engine lit, that all exploded and destroyed the stage. According to a tweet from Musk, they did manage to deploy some Starlink satellites, but they're in the wrong orbit, and they don't know if they're going to – they're not sure if they can get those orbits up to where they're supposed to be. So they'll probably have to deorbit them. We'll have to find that out. So once again, it's a launch failure for SpaceX, but this is the exception that proves the rule, unlike other launches, which we can talk about next if you want.
Congratulations, European Space Agency. Ariane 6 flies. How long is it going to fly, Bob?
Well, let's go to the specifics of this launch. Ariane 6 finally got its European Space Agency finally got the first launch off of the Ariane 6. It's Ariane 6 rocket, the rocket that's supposed to that replaces the Ariane 5. It's 4 years behind schedule, had a lot of development problems, is completely expendable, which means it costs more, and is and therefore doesn't really get the contracts necessary to make it a profitable operation. They got the launch off successfully. They were able to release 9 CubeSats as planned. These were essentially quickie launches on a test launch, so they don't put expensive satellites on. But the mission was not a complete success. Once the upper stage was in orbit and released the CubeSats, it was supposed to fire the engine one more time to put it into a deorbit configuration. At that point, it would release two test reentry capsules, one from a private company, French company, the Exploration Company, the other one from Airbus, to test reentry capabilities. And they also were testing the ability to deorbit the upper stage so it doesn't become space junk. But when that engine fired, it suddenly cut off unplanned. So the stage was caught, is stuck in an orbit, and those capsules were not able to be released to do their test flights. So this was not a complete success. They say that this the failure of the upper stage to fire correctly the second time will not affect later launches. They are intending to do a second Ariane 6 launch before the end of this year, and they want to ramp up to 6 next year, 8 in 26, and 10 launches in 27. I would say, though, that the first upper stage did not fire properly the second time is no different than SpaceX's problem. And SpaceX didn't poo-poo the issue. They said, we're investigating it to try to figure out what's wrong. European press people and their officials tried to poo-poo this. They have to find out what happened here. It's a problem.
Find out what's happened. There's an idea, Bob. Let's talk about Starliner. Find out what's happened. What is Starliner, Bob? Put the best face on it.
I'll just put the reality on it. Starliner is a manned capsule, like SpaceX's Dragon capsules, that NASA contracted Boeing to build. When they signed these contracts, they wanted to have two different manned capsules to provide ferrying services to and from ISS, and have two because that would give them redundancy, and it would also help encourage American aerospace industry because you'd have competition and multiple companies capable of doing this. Well, SpaceX got their thing built pretty much on time. They've been flying astronauts to ISS now for about 4 years. Boeing has had endless problems with its Starliner. It did a demo mission that had numerous problems. It had abort the docking with ISS. They did a second unmanned demo mission, which succeeded in docking with ISS, but it still had a number of problems. When they were planning to do the first manned flight a year ago, just shortly before the launch, they revealed, one, there was an issue with the parachutes. They suddenly discovered this. And even worse, they suddenly discovered that within the capsule, they had used flammable tape to protect the electrical system throughout the capsule. Always fail me when I hear that story. So they had to delay the launch for a year to fix those two problems. And so finally, on June 5th, they launched with two astronauts on board, came up, docked with ISS. When they docked, several thrusters had failed and were not working properly. So they were able to dock correctly, but they're now spending a lot of time trying to figure out what went wrong with those thrusters. And they had another press briefing earlier this week, which they detailed again exactly the situation. And I will tell you right now that based upon my analysis of what they said they were doing, I actually feel more confident that this capsule is in good enough shape to bring the astronauts back to Earth. They have extended, they're not stating a return date at this point because they want to make sure they have done everything they can to understand the problem of those thrusters. The thrusters are not involved in the deorbit maneuver, so that's no threat. These particular thrusters are only used for orienting the spacecraft, but they've got lots of those and there's redundancy there, and there's only one thruster that's not working right now. So they're very confident they can come back very safely, and I agree. I think that's the case. They want to know, though, why that thruster failed, and they think the problem has to do with overheating. The thrusters, apparently, when you fire them, they overheat. And so they're trying to do analysis. They've done a hot fire test in space. They're doing hot fire tests of an identical manner on the ground, and when those are completed in about a week, they want to analyze those. And when they're finished with that, then they'll determine a return date. Once again, I think this capsule is in good enough shape now that they can use it for manned flight. But Boeing's reputation is further stained by these problems. There's no doubt about that. They're going to have a great deal of difficulty convincing anyone to want to buy tickets to go on Starliner. They're going to have to fly a lot of missions with no problems before people will agree to that.
Bob, the confidence you express, is this Boeing confidence, NASA confidence? What kind of confidence?
This is my confidence. I listen to them. I listen to them describe what they're doing and what the problems are. And then I came to my conclusion that they are doing proper due diligence and the situation is totally is good.
All right,
it's not them selling me because you know me, I can detect bogus statements from 100 miles away. No, I'm listening to what they're really talking about and what the real details are, and I'm looking at the analysis. Once again, there's only one thruster that has failed that they're not going to use anymore. All the thrusters that had issues, most of which have now been reactivated and are functioning, do not involve the deorbit burn. And those thrusters have been tested and are in good shape. So the issue here is not life-threatening in the slightest. It is, though, an issue of Boeing's reputation, and that's a problem.
Life-threatening. I'm not talking life-threatening. I'm talking about a company that has repeatedly had problems, and
yeah,
each time there's an explanation, and then there's another problem. It's odd.
Yes, I agree. I mean, we are dealing with a capsule that was really not built very well or with good quality control, because these issues should not have come up. I agree with you there. So we're talking about two different things, and I point this out. The reputation and the company's work is one thing. The situation with the capsule in orbit is another, and so we have to separate the two.
Good enough for Boeing work. Okay, let's go to what is Astroscale?
Astroscale is a little tug company based in Japan, but they've got American and European divisions. They, in conjunction with the Japanese government, launched a test spacecraft called Address-J. They launched it in March, and its job was to do proximity maneuvering and rendezvous around an abandoned upper stage of Japan's H-2A rocket. And they did this. They arrived in April, and I posted pictures. I've got one of those pictures up on Behind the Black right now, of the first day of this upper stage. And they've been continuing to do their maneuvers. They got within 50 meters, about 50 yards, and they've taken more pictures. And what they've determined is, even though this upper stage has been in orbit for 15 years, it's in remarkably good shape. And it's also flying in a very stable manner, tumbling not at all. And these are the kind of things that you need to find out if you're going to grab it and deorbit it, because it is a piece of space junk. They'd like to get it all out of space. And this is the whole point of this flight, to test this kind of maneuvering capability with a robot for the eventual later mission, which would come in and dock, but grab this stage and then deorbit it. And so Astroscale has been doing this test mission to demonstrate its capabilities as an orbital tug company, and it's proving it out, John.
And these engineers, I trust, Bob, are they open to going to work for Boeing and transforming the quality control?
It's a question of whether Boeing wants to hire them. I'm not sure if they're right from the right demographics from Boeing's perspective, John.
We're looking at commercial space and private space, but Boeing's somewhere in between because the way it conducts itself. I just remember those images, Bob, of the big space companies once upon a time, and they thought it was forever. They never thought there would be the competition that we now report on routinely.
Yes, and that competition is going to have to change or die. That's really what's going on.
What is Axiom?
All right, now we have three different stories now about space stations, and these are private commercial companies. Axiom is one of the four American space consortiums building space stations, commercial space stations, to launch in the next few years. Axiom has flown manned missions to ISS already, commercial manned missions. I'll talk about one of those later. They have now signed a deal with an American startup company called Gravitix to use a module that Gravitix is building as one of the modules in Axiom's space station. Axiom already has a plan for its space station. They're going to dock a few modules to ISS. When they have enough modules there, they will undock from ISS and become an independent space station. It appears that they've now signed Gravitix to build another module. Now, Gravitix is interesting because they have even proposed several different large modules, one of which is designed to be launched on Starship. So it's a very big module. But this is a small module, and it's a $125 million deal to build it. Up to now, Axiom's used European countries to build its modules, and so this is nice, this shift into the United States. We got another module story, John. This is in Japan. There was a Japanese company, Mitsui, which is an established company that's been building stuff for years. They're proposing building modules themselves to sell to these space station companies, one of which is Axiom. They haven't gotten a deal, but they are pushing for this idea, and they want to build inflatable modules that others can buy and attach to their space stations. When you think about it, if you've got four space stations up in orbit, if they want to expand, that's four different customers you can sell a module to. So there's a cause for this. There's a need for this. They hope to. Then we have another one, John. Let's go to the third.
One minute, Bob. One minute. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, 1 minute. India has its own private company that wants to build modules, inflatable modules, and it's proposing the same kind of thing. Now, finally, let me go quick, since we have a minute. India has made a deal with Axiom to fly astronauts on Axiom's next mission to ISS. They have now reduced to two astronauts who are going to fly. One of those are going to fly in the missions, where the other will be a backup. They're getting training in the U.S. It's interesting. They have four astronauts in their fleet. Three are going to fly on their own space capsule, but one of these are going to fly on Axiom's mission in October of this year.
Commercial space doing very well. Bob Zimmerman, 14 years of commercial space. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.